Sounds interesting. Should be a good one. Coming up in just about, 12 minutes from now. It's KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
PBS News. Viet Cong and North Vietnamese tanks are rolling into Saigon just hours after the South Vietnamese surrender. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. We have word from the CBS News Bureau in Saigon that guerrillas with weapons have taken up positions at the National Assembly building. Tanks flying Viet Cong flags and carrying communist troops reportedly have moved through cheering crowds onto the grounds of the presidential palace. According to these reports, people are disobeying a 24-hour curfew and jamming the streets, cheering the victors. After the American embassy was evacuated hours ago, people broke into the building and looted it. The consular building was then set on fire. In Washington, White House Deputy Press Secretary John Hushen says there will be no White House statement tonight on the unconditional surrender. In Paris, the Viet Cong's Provisional Revolutionary Government says it will have a statement soon on its position now that the surrender has taken place. South Vietnamese President Minh announced the surrender and ordered the government army to lay down its weapons. He spoke a few hours after a fleet of American Marine helicopters completed evacuation of nearly 900 Americans and thousands of South Vietnamese. In Washington, Secretary of State Kissinger announced the end of the evacuation in a briefing. Bernard Kalb was there.
It was, in a way, an obituary of U.S. policy in Vietnam. The secretary avoided being specific. This is not the occasion, he said, when the last American has just left South Vietnam to make an assessment of American foreign policy. But he conceded the obvious, that the U.S. did not achieve the objectives of those who had sent Americans to war in Indochina. Kissinger also said what this country needs is to heal its wounds, put Vietnam behind us, and concentrate on the problems of the future. In discussing the immediate situation, he said it was too early to tell if a final bloody battle for Saigon might still be fought. He added that the question of future aid for South Vietnam will have to wait for a determination about what kind of government emerges if indeed there is a South Vietnam. And when he was asked if the U.S. would be reluctant to come to the aid of an ally in the future, Kissinger said no lesson should be drawn by the enemies of our friends from the U.S. experience in Vietnam. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
More in a minute.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Foolish pleasure may sound like a waste of time, but not this year. I'm Win Elliott for CBS Radio Sports, and the foolish pleasure I'm talking about is the horse that's out front with the odds makers to take this year's Kentucky Derby. I'm going to be in Louisville to bring you all the color of the classic from Churchill Downs, along with Kaywood Ledford, who's going to call the race. And that's not all. We'll be at trackside with Ray Haight for the Preakness and the Belmont. Triple Crown coverage starts this Saturday with the Kentucky Derby. You listen to it exclusively on the CBS Radio Network.
A former Air Force colonel says that the CIA did make an unsuccessful attempt to kill Cuban Premier Fidel Castro in late 1959 or early 1960. Colonel Fletcher Prouty told CBS News that he has personal knowledge of assassination attempts.
I had set up for the CIA a very large base, a clandestine base, at Eglin, part of Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. And one of the missions that was launched from that base was to drop people by a small aircraft, put them on a road in Cuba, and the person that was to do this was the assassin selected by CIA to attempt to get to Castro and to shoot him.
Prouty, talking to CBS News correspondent Daniel Shore, says that he is sure former CIA Director Richard Helms knew about the mission. Helms denies it. Now this message.
Take stock in America. Look what we've done to 200 years behind us and we're walking in the sun. We're going and we're growing, taking stock in our land by buying U.S. savings bonds through the payroll savings plan. Take stock in America, join in our song, stock up on U.S. savings bonds and keep us going strong. In America, join in our song, stock up on U.S. savings bonds, and keep us going strong.
A public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Greek and American officials have announced that the U.S. Sixth Fleet will no longer call Athens its home port. The U.S. base at Athens Airport will also be closed under a joint agreement. The announcement says that certain American facilities which contribute to Greek defense needs will still operate on one of Greece's Air Force bases. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The legislature's Joint Ways and Means Committee has agreed to return to subcommittee a unit pricing bill that some members said needed a major overhaul. Representative Vera Katz of Portland, a strong supporter of unit pricing, asked that the bill be returned to subcommittee. She said that the proposal will be scrapped and that the subcommittee will substitute legislation patterned after a bill introduced during the 1973 legislative session. That bill would have required all large grocery stores to unit price products on their shelves. The Senate has approved legislation that would tighten up procedures and requirements for formation of a people's utility district. The measure would increase the number of signatures needed on petitions calling for an election on the formation issue. The new requirement would be 15% of all qualified voters rather than 5% of the number of voters cast for Supreme Court candidates. The measure also requires the state engineer to report on the feasibility of the proposed new district, giving him authority to halt the proceedings before an election is held. Senator Mike Thorne of Pendleton, in presenting the bill, said it would bring procedures for such districts into line with those for other special districts. A public hearing on a CARTI site application by Portland General Electric's coal-fired thermal power plant will be considered by the Morrow County Planning Commission May 12th. The hearing on the conditional use permit will be at the county courthouse in Heppner starting at 8 p.m. One of the Vietnamese orphans flown to Seattle April 6th, Than Anh Thu, about 6 months of age, died today at Children's Orthopedic Hospital of complications resulting from pneumonia. A hospital attendant says the baby girl was suffering from malnutrition, which may have brought on the pneumonia. One other Vietnamese orphan, a girl about 4 months of age, also was suffering from pneumonia and is listed in critical condition. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area, fair tonight, sunny Wednesday and Thursday. Lows near 40 degrees, highs in the upper 60s, light winds overnight, chance of rain near zero. Right now, Portland, the temperature stands at 56 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1108. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... E.G. Marshall, your host for another adventure so strange and so chilling that we dare say you'll get little sleep this night. At the moment, we're in a shabby little storefront studio near the waterfront of a large city. On the dusty window in hand-painted letters are the words Carol, Reader and Advisor. Reader and Advisor, a comfort to thousands who believe in their powers, and a fraud to the thousands who laugh them off as ridiculous. Martha Hawthorne, however, is one of the thousands who believe. And at the moment, she is seeking help for a desperate situation.
Well, Carol?
It is in this bottle.
Do not, under any circumstances, open it until the time comes. Until you are ready to use it.
I understand.
The effects are not always instantaneous. It takes a while. And it is sometimes unpredictable.
I'll take those chances. The idea appeals to me so enormously. It's so perfect.
Be careful, Mrs. Hawthorne. I must warn you. When the bottle is opened, be very, very careful.
Our mystery drama, Black Widow, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by Bob Juren and stars Robert Dryden and Evie Juster. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment to continue brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, without compromise. And it's a promise to everyone who enjoys great beer that there's one thing they'll always be able to count on. That one-of-a-kind, Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. A taste that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking?
And when you say Bud...
St. Louis.
Ever been riding along in your car and hear a radio announcement asking you to go to your local hospital to make an emergency blood donation?
For donors with B negative blood.
Happens every day.
Call that hospital immediately.
How come blood is in such short supply that emergency pleas have to be made? Because not enough people give blood. It's that simple. We know you're busy these days, but think, you're alive and well, too, and you could help others to be that way. Your easy donation of blood to Red Cross or any other volunteer blood bank actually helps a number of people, because the blood you give is split up into various components, sometimes as many as five. It gives life to a whole lot of people. So don't wait for an emergency announcement before you call your local Red Cross blood bank. If you call now, there doesn't have to be a blood emergency.
Today's weather, sunny and mild, high near...
Standing up for what you believe is right is both honorable and necessary. And it also can be dangerous. Particularly if your adversary has very little scruples and a lot to lose, should you have your way. Such is the case with John Hawthorne, a top-notch mechanic whose father before him took pride in his work, his friends, and his trade union. And John intends to bring back those better days and stand for what his father stood for.
Hello.
Hello, John.
What do you want, Max?
I don't like the noises you've been making with the rank and file.
You know where I stand.
I'm beginning to, yes. It's come to my attention that, you're even thinking of running for union president.
Not thinking anymore, Max. Am running.
That's my job. Why waste your time? You know you can't win.
I know that damn near the whole membership is fed up with you and that so-called business manager of yours. You see, Max, what I've got that you haven't is the membership on my side.
A membership? Don't act so naive, John. They don't have any say in the union's affairs.
You're right there, Max. That's been the whole trouble. I intend to give this union back to the members.
We'll see. Let's talk about it in person. After the meeting next Friday.
There's no talking to you, Max. We've been trying to talk for 2 years, but you run things your way, and we're fed up with it.
All right, John. Don't get excited. You'll run for president. See what it gets you.
I wondered when Max would start getting worried.
He's not worried, Martha. I am.
That makes two of us. I'm proud of your guts, John. But we both know who Max has behind him, and they play rough.
I'm not afraid of threats. I'm just worried that maybe I can't carry it off.
I still wish you'd reconsider. You have to do what you think is right. I don't want to be a hero's widow.
But... No. They wouldn't try anything like that. Oh, I expect a little rough stuff, maybe, but I've got my eyes open. And I've got my protection, too.
Oh, John, is it worth it? What's it going to do to Lillian and me?
Nobody's going to get hurt. Except Max Conger. He's never had a serious challenge to his authority. We're a small, independent mechanics union that used to be great until Max Conger and his friends got their claws into us.
I know you've been upset about it for months. But let someone else carry the standard.
I have to, Martha. My father was shop steward for years, and now me. The guys just look to me to do it.
Well, I can't say I'm not proud of you. I guess I wouldn't want you any other way.
I'm home.
Hi, Lillian.
Hello, baby.
You home for supper?
If it's quick. Neil's picking me up at 7.
Where are you two heading tonight?
Roller skating, believe it or not. We're meeting June and Fred there.
Aren't they old for roller skating?
I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Hawthorne. Hank Thomas here.
Oh, yes, Hank. You want John?
If he's not busy.
Yeah, I'll take it, Mother. Hank.
John, I've got to call a shop steward's meeting tonight. I know it's last minute. Can you make it?
You know I can.
Well, we're running into a problem at the Campbell shop over in Florence. We've got things to work out.
What's the Campbell shop got to do with us?
Well, we're all union brothers.
Yeah, and it suits your purpose.
Okay, John, I know about your talk with Max a little while ago. When you win the election, you can do things your way. Until then, we'll do it mine, okay? See you at 8.
Yeah. Okay, Hank.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Hawthorne. Hank Thomas again. I hope John has left yet.
Oh, he did. About 10 minutes ago.
Oh, too bad. I had to postpone that meeting tonight, and I hoped I could catch him.
He's on his way to the Union Hall now.
Well, I'll see him and send him home. Sorry about the inconvenience.
I don't mind.
Goodbye, Miss Hawthorne.
Goodbye.
Good evening, Mrs. Hawthorne.
Good evening, Carol. I'm sorry to bother you for reading this late, but I'm terribly worried.
I am always at your service, Mrs. Hawthorne. Always. For regular customers who need help from the cards.
My husband went to a union meeting tonight, and that's part of my problem.
Sit down. Let us see what the cards tell us. These cards are the threat. This is your husband. A red king. That is favorable. A red king will triumph over the situation.
Oh, thank you.
If
what?
If the next card is a red jack or a black queen.
The ace of spades.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The ace of spades is death.
That is what is in the card.
Oh, dear Lord, I've got to get home.
Mrs. Hawthorne, one moment.
I haven't time.
There is a way. There is a way. You can protect your husband from all harm.
Carol, what are you saying?
There is... Well, I hate the word. A spell. It is costly, but it works. With it, he cannot be harmed.
Are you serious?
Very.
Then for heaven's sake, do it. Give it to me, or whatever.
It will take 2 days, but it will work.
Do it.
Well, I will need a bit of his hair and a bit of his skin.
His skin?
Well, just a tiny shaving. Not even enough to draw blood. And a snip of hair.
But how can I get them without his knowing?
It does not matter. Explain it to him. He will agree.
Oh, he'll think I'm crazy.
Find a way to get them. And get them fast, if you value your husband's life.
John?
It's me, Mother. Where'd Dad go?
To a shop steward meeting. But after he left, Hank Thomas called to say it was canceled. I thought your father would be home long before this.
Oh, they probably went for a drink.
They usually do. But the meeting was called off. I'm so...
Mother, what is it? You're shaking.
Lillian, your father's in danger.
Oh, Mother, have you been seeing that Carol person again?
I had to. I had to know what would happen with this union business.
Oh, Dad can handle himself, and you know it. What did your advisor say?
You mustn't tell anyone, Lillian. She's going to give me a spell to protect your father.
A spell? I don't like seeing you this way. Believing something like this would work. Well, it's voodoo. Or worse. It's not going to protect Dad. It's making a wreck out of you.
This union business is making a wreck out of me. If I can find a way to stop it, I will.
Well, this isn't the way to stop it. With witches spells and...
John forgot his key. Not a word to him about this. Well, how was the...
Miss Hawthorne?
Yes.
Lieutenant Carey, 14th Precinct.
What's happened? John?
What is it, Mother?
A police, ma'am. Mr. Hawthorne met with an accident.
Oh, no. I'm too late.
What happened?
Hit and run, apparently. No witnesses.
Oh, how bad. I'm his daughter.
Fatal. Oh. I'm sorry. Will you come with me, please?
Oh, Mother.
It was too late. It was too late.
Give us a minute, please.
Oh, of course. I'll be outside.
Mother, we have to go to police headquarters.
He's dead. And I was too late.
It's possible. We have to go.
Yes. That's my husband.
There were no witnesses, you say?
Not as far as we know, but someone might come forward. There's always a chance someone saw it happen.
It was no accident, Lieutenant.
If you know something, Miss Hawthorne...
My father was challenging the union authority.
And suddenly, he's dead on the street. No witness. Nothing to tie them in with it.
Are you making an accusation, Mrs. Hawthorne?
Yes. I'm accusing Max Conger and Hank Thomas of murder.
Well, that may be impossible to prove.
Let's go home, Mother.
Home? What's left of home?
I'll have a car take you back. We'll talk with you both, Miss Hawthorne, when your mother's recovered a little. Absolutely nothing to link those two men with this case, Miss Hawthorne.
I realize that.
Well, there's always a chance, as I said, of someone coming forward.
Oh, I doubt it. But it would take that, I'm afraid, to pull Mother out of her shock.
Could I see her? Perhaps a different face.
Of course. Might... Don't be surprised if she just stares at you. But then she might respond. Follow me.
Sure. You've had a doctor attend her, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, almost every day. Apparently this happens frequently. He says medication might even make it worse, so he's just waiting for nature.
In your mother's case, there's the bitterness. That makes it all the tougher.
Mother? Mother? But she's gone.
But I thought you said she was...
She hasn't left this room for a week. I talked to her here just an hour before you arrived.
We were right downstairs. How could she get by without our seeing her?
The back stairs. It's possible, but it's not probable. But where would she go?
Now, I have to ask this. Did your father have a gun?
No. Not that I know of.
I've got to use your phone, and fast.
A tortured mind is prey to a thousand tormenting thoughts. And a grief-stricken widow, embittered by what she believes was the murder of her husband, is prey to a host of sinister motivations. We'll learn what's motivating Martha Hawthorne and to what action when I return shortly with Act Two.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, I've been telling you that Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is a wonderful way to make an ordinary meal a great meal, and to keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. That's because it's a delicious combination of Uncle Ben's rice, natural wild rice, herbs, and seasonings. It has a really distinctive taste just about every grown-up loves. But what about those everyday family meals? Well, now Uncle Ben's has a way to make them special, too. With Uncle Ben's new fast-cooking long grain and wild rice, it's flavored with a delicious but milder blend of herbs and seasonings. So it has a milder taste. It cooks in just 5 minutes. So it's easy to serve anytime. With anything, chicken, hamburgers, whatever's on the family menu. So try Uncle Ben's new 5-minute fast cooking long grain and wild rice. The whole family will love its milder taste.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
Martha Hawthorne has at last been motivated. For a week after her husband was killed in a hit-and-run accident, she sat motionless in her room, harboring the bitterness of suspicion, convinced he was murdered by the men he challenged. But for Martha Hawthorne, there was no way to prove it. Now, dressed entirely in black with a widow's veil, she seeks the help she so desperately wants.
Sit down, Mrs. Hawthorne. Well, I was sorry to hear of your husband. We were too late, it seems.
They didn't give me a chance to protect him.
Are you so certain these men were responsible?
I'm certain.
Then would not the police be the ones?
The police can't do anything. There's no proof, no witnesses. That's why I'm here. I want revenge.
If it is in the cards, perhaps.
Not the cards. You know what I want.
Yes.
One that will be as foolproof as theirs.
Are you sure?
I'm certain.
Mrs. Hawthorne, please listen. I have been your advisor for almost 3 years. You are a gentlewoman. What you are doing now is out of grief and bitterness. Wait. Wait a month, and...
I will not wait.
Very well. There is a very effective method. And you would be above suspicion.
Exactly what I want.
There is some risk to you.
That doesn't matter.
Come back tomorrow. I shall have it ready. It is in this black bottle. Do not, under any circumstances, open it until the time comes. until you are ready to use it.
I understand.
The effects are not instantaneous. It takes a while. And it is sometimes unpredictable.
I'll take those chances. The idea appeals to me so enormously. It is so perfect.
Be careful, Mrs. Hawthorne. I must warn you. When the bottle is opened, be very, very careful.
Martha, come in.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything, Max.
Of course not.
I imagine you're surprised to see me.
You're always welcome here, Martha. You know how I felt about John's death.
Your flowers were very thoughtful.
Hit and run's a cowardly thing. If we can find out who killed John and just left him
but
there...
But he's conveniently out of your way now. Wouldn't you say whoever did you a favor?
Martha, what a thing to say. John was a fine man.
But still a threat to you. And your position.
We had our differences, yes, but to say that...
You don't fool me, Max. Oh, I don't say you were driving the car. But John's death was no accident, and you know it. You arranged it.
You're taking chances with that attractive mouth of yours, Martha.
What you mean is I'll be next?
This is ridiculous, Martha. I wouldn't threaten you.
Nor are you. But if a certain piece of evidence I have proves to be right, I'll drop the proof of John's murder right in your lap.
What evidence?
That's my secret. It's in my garage. You'd know it if you saw it. And it points right to you and Hank Thomas.
I don't believe you.
That doesn't concern me. I came here, Max, because I want you to know I'm not making wild accusations. When I can prove it, and I know I can, I'll do what's fair and right.
Go ahead. You think you can tie me or Hank into this? Go ahead. You're going to be very sorry, though.
Oh, no, I'm not, Max. You are.
Martha.
Now, direct from CBS News, this special Radio Net Alert news report.
This is Stuart Nobin, CBS News. The president of South Vietnam, General Duong Van Minh, Big Minh, has just announced the unconditional surrender to the Viet Cong. President Minh made the announcement in a radio broadcast in Saigon. The surrender, whose details are not yet known, followed the American evacuation from Saigon. Our own bureau in Saigon reported less than an hour ago that two communist rockets had fallen inside the city. That must have reminded Minh and others in the government of the rocket attack against Tan Son Nhut Airport last night. It was a forcible reminder that the communists were in a position to demand, not to negotiate. Repeating, the South Vietnamese government has announced its unconditional surrender to the Viet Cong. President Minh said, "We are here to hand over to you, the Viet Cong, the power in order to avoid bloodshed." That statement in a radio address in Saigon tonight. This is Stuart Novins, CBS News.
This Net Alert report has come to you from CBS News. We now resume the regular program schedule on this CBS Radio Net Alert station.
Things are not instantaneous. It takes a while. Sometimes it is unpredictable. But be careful, Mrs. Hawthorne. I must warn you, when the bottle is opened, be very, very careful.
Keep the light low. What are we looking for?
I don't know, but she said I'd recognize it.
She or the daughter's lapless ears.
There's nobody home. I've been phoning for an hour. No lights in the house. Well, then.
This is crazy, Max. How could she have any evidence? She's working on your nerves. How could she trace it to us?
I don't know. That's what worries me. Flash your light around, but keep it low.
Early. Look at that.
Yeah. Looks like a black widow.
Dangerous.
Not if you don't touch him. See? It just sits there.
It gives me the creeps. Let's get out of here.
Not till I find what I came for. Yeah, the spider's gone. Look at everything. It stands out.
I don't know, Max. But if you're not leaving, I am.
Go, then, and leave me the light.
There.
Wait. Look.
That black widow spider again. It's right in front of the door.
It won't attack. At least I don't think so. If you touch one by accident, that's when they fight back.
Look at it, though. Takes little steps toward us.
It's disappeared again. They don't like the light, I think. They head for dark corners.
I got chills just looking at that thing. I'm getting out of here, Max.
Okay. There's nothing here. Martha's bluffing.
So, Mrs. Hawthorne, it was effective.
Very. I'll need another one.
Are you sure you want to continue this, Mrs. Hawthorne?
Absolutely certain.
Very well. I shall have another for you tomorrow.
I hope you don't mind my calling on you at home, Max.
It's all right, Martha. Come into the study.
I've decided not to pursue this any longer, Max. I'm not sure I can make my evidence stick.
Sit down, Martha. Let's be friends. John and I were.
John hated your guts, and you know it. I know for certain that you and Hank killed John. But I'm giving up. You won't be seeing me again, Max.
Well, if you want it that way, Martha. But my door is always open to you.
Your courtesy doesn't impress me, Max.
May I drive you home?
No, thanks. It's a lovely night.
Well, then, good night, Martha.
Goodbye, Max.
Careful, Mrs. Hawthorne. I must warn you, when the bottle is opened, be very, very careful.
I'll be careful. Here's to your health, Max.
Local 48.
Hank?
Hello, Max. What's up?
I just had a visitor. Martha Hawthorne.
Oh?
She's giving up. She knows she can't prove anything. She's finally admitting it.
Still that nosy detective to deal with.
He hasn't got a... Oh!
Max, what's the matter?
Good Lord.
Max, what is it?
A black spider just landed on my desk.
A spider?
It's a black widow.
Hit it with the phone.
Going up the lamp.
Max, you gotta kill it.
I can't. Move, Hank. I can't move. It's so hideous. Look.
Max, do something.
It jumped. It's on my neck. Ah! Get off. Get off.
Max.
It bit me. I'm beaten.
Max.
Oh, get an ambulance.
I'm Lieutenant Carey, 14th Precinct. I called on you after John Hawthorne's death.
Yes, sir.
I'd like some information.
So would I. I want to know how Max is. Why don't they tell me?
But Mr. Conger died 10 minutes ago.
Max? Dead? I was too late.
You brought him to the hospital?
Yeah, I didn't wait for an ambulance. He was in pain. He was hysterical.
This happened at home?
Yes. Why do you want to know?
A black widow spider death is relatively rare. Did he say anything on the way to the hospital?
No.
Where was he when it happened?
In his den. He called me from there. And I found him on the floor.
Huh. That's unusual. Black widows rarely come out like that. They generally stay in their dark corners.
Well, this one didn't. It was awful hearing Max scream like that. I'll never forget it. Wait a minute, Lieutenant.
What is it?
She couldn't have known.
Who?
Martha Hawthorne. She visited Max last night.
The hit-and-run victim's widow?
Yes.
Well, you think there's a connection?
Well, it's crazy. It's wild. Mrs. Hawthorne accused Max and me of her husband's death.
Yeah, I know.
And last night she went to Max and told him she was, well, withdrawing the accusation.
So?
She was there. And then Max...
Are you suggesting Mrs. Hawthorne brought a Black Widow spider into his home?
It's impossible. But she was there.
I'll have a talk with Mrs. Hawthorne. Since you say she was evidently the last person to see Max Conger alive.
Back again, Mrs. Hawthorne. Well, I read of the man's death in the paper.
You think me a murderer, Carol?
No, no.
I'm an executioner. That man killed my husband. And I'm not quite finished, Carol. I'll need one more. Just one more.
Martha Hawthorne is a determined woman, and she's chosen a unique method for disposing of her husband's killers. Untraceable. Who can blame a murder on a spider? But through it all, there's one risk to herself that Martha Hawthorne fails to see. We'll see what it is when I return shortly with Act Three.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom's spirit like a wild bird call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free.
On the open road, rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Nice choice, your Buick.
Inside your free.
I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
"Into my parlor," said the spider to the fly. "'Tis the prettiest little parlor that you ever did spy." "Oh, no, no," said the little fly. "To ask me is in vain, for who goes up your winding stair can ne'er come down again." Martha Hawthorne, still bent on avenging her husband's death, has one more victim of her bitterness to dispose of. But the victim is beginning to fear for his life, and has suggested to Police Lieutenant Carey that there may be some connection between Martha Hawthorne's visit to Max Conger and Max's subsequent death.
How can I help you, Lieutenant Carey?
It's about the death of Max Conger.
That was dreadful. I make no pretense of liking Max, but I was shocked when I read of his awful death. A spider?
Mr. Conger's associate, Mr. Thomas, says you visited him that night.
I did, that's true. I told Max I was through accusing him. You know the story.
We're still investigating that case, Miss Hawthorne.
I'm trying to forget it. Why don't you?
Oh, we don't forget hit and run. But back to the reason for my visit.
Yes?
I don't know how to say this, but you visited Max Conger, and a short time later, he was bitten by a deadly spider.
Do I? No, I don't think I understand you right. Are you suggesting that I had something to do with a spider biting Max Conger?
I know it's far-fetched, but we have to take
Far-fetched? It's insane. How in the world could I catch one, let alone deliver it to Max Conger? Oh, Lieutenant, this is beyond belief.
But the curious thing is the spider. Black widows don't usually come out and climb up on desks. They stay in the darkness.
I know nothing of spider behavior. You're being taken in by Hank Thomas, Lieutenant. He thinks because I accused them that I'm responsible for everything that might happen to them.
You're right. Mr. Thomas is oversensitive, and that, coupled with my own curiosity, I hope you'll forgive me. I won't trouble you again.
I hope not, Lieutenant. I'm finished with the whole business. I'm moving away from here as far as I can.
I think you're wise to do that, Mrs. Hawthorne. Bitterness can really eat you up. I know. I've seen it.
I don't care what you say, Lieutenant. I'm in danger.
Now, Mr. Thomas, Mrs. Hawthorne can't possibly do you any harm.
She did it to Max.
Why are you so sure Mrs. Hawthorne is out to get you, as you put it?
Well, she's a hysterical, bitter woman. And a threat to me.
No. Not Miss Hawthorne, Mr. Thomas. But someone is.
What?
The reason I'm pursuing this is because there is something strange. Two members of the same union meet with accidental deaths within 2 weeks of each other.
There's no one sabotaging the union. John Hawthorne had an accident. His hysterical wife's making waves. Now, if you won't protect me from Martha, I'll set up my own defense.
She told me she was forgetting the whole thing.
Yeah, she told that to Max Conger. And look what happened to him.
There's no way you're...
Not for you, maybe. But I know different. That spider was no accident.
All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Mr. Thomas. I'm going to post a guard at your home and your office. No one, including Mrs. Hawthorne, will be able to approach you.
That makes me feel better.
But I can't do it indefinitely. It's just until I can make heads or tails out of this whole thing.
Good afternoon. I'd like to see Mr. Thomas.
Sorry, no one's permitted in the office, ma'am.
Why, a police guard. Has something happened to Mr. Thomas?
Lieutenant Carey's orders. No one's allowed to see Mr. Thomas.
He's all right, then?
Yes, and Lieutenant Carey intends to keep him that way.
But I don't understand. I've known Mr. Thomas for years. I'm Martha Hawthorne.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry, Mrs. Hawthorne, but he said you particularly would have been kept out.
I'm very sorry for him. He must be living in terrible fear. Can you imagine anyone being afraid of me?
Excuse me. Yes, sir?
Oh, it's you. Where's my secretary?
He's gone to lunch, sir.
Well, when she gets back, I'm going home.
Yes, sir.
Hank, what's the trouble?
Who's out there?
It's me, Martha.
Leave Martha now.
Oh, Hank, please. Hank? Hank? What's he doing in there?
You all right, Mr. Thomas?
I'm all right.
He's moving furniture against the door.
Oh, no, it's pitiful to see someone so frightened.
There's no danger, Mr. Thomas.
Not anymore. I've got the door barricaded. I'll send her away.
I'll leave now. There's no use.
Mrs. Hawthorne's leaving now, sir.
I feel sorry for him. I really do. So terribly sorry.
Be very careful, Mrs. Hawthorne. I must warn you, when the bottle is opened, be very, very careful.
So Hank Thomas won't see me. Well, we'll see about that. And now, here's to your health, Hank.
Mr. Thomas, Mrs. Hawthorne's gone now.
She really gone?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but don't let her back in. Not even in the outer office.
Yes, sir.
Send my secretary in with you.
Mr. Thomas, what's the matter?
Get away. Get it away. Oh, Lord.
Right.
Get out of here.
I can't open the door. You've got the furniture against it.
He's following me.
If I can just force enough to
stand it off my back. It's on my neck. I can't get it off.
Now, hold still. Hold still. I'll get it. Good Lord, it's a Black Widow.
Get it out of it. Get it off.
Got it. I'll call an ambulance fast.
What's the word, Lieutenant?
Dead. Heart failure. What's the matter with you, Joe? I put you there to guard him, and bingo, he gets it with you right under his nose. I ought to have your badge.
Lieutenant, I swear nobody went into that office.
You said Mrs. Hawthorne left shortly before he started screaming?
About 2 minutes. Maybe less.
While she was there, in the outer office, did you see her take anything from her purse?
Oh, not a thing. I can swear to it. She wasn't there more than a minute. He told her to leave.
And she never went into his private...
Letter. Your orders. Besides, Mr. Thomas had a chair pushed in front of the door. That's why it took me so long to get to him.
I don't understand it. I just don't... Mrs. Hawthorne left the outer office.
She went into the hall.
Then about 2 minutes later, Mr. Thomas screamed.
That's right. I had to force the door, and there he was with the Black Widow spider on his neck. I slapped it off his neck and killed it with a book.
It's more than coincidence this time. I've got to have a talk with Miss...
Coming. Who is it?
Lieutenant Kay.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant.
Miss Hawthorne, I must speak with your mother right away.
Oh, she's not here.
Did you know she visited Hank Thomas' office this afternoon?
No. I got home at 6. Mother wasn't here, and there wasn't any... I just assumed she'd gone shopping or something.
Hank Thomas died from a heart attack after being bitten by a Black Widow spider.
Oh, my heavens, no.
It happened minutes after your mother was there. From what I can learn from my guard, your mother never went near the private office.
Well, then...
But this right on top of Max Conger, it's just not coincidence anymore. The two men die in the same way shortly after your mother visited them.
Oh, this is ghastly, Lieutenant. I just can't believe Mother...
It is highly improbable, but how do you explain it?
I don't know. Look, I'll tell Mother you want to see her the minute she gets home.
I'd like to wait, if you don't mind.
Very well. Come on in. I'll get us some coffee. It's not like Mother to be gone so long without phoning.
It's 9 o'clock. Is there a friend she might have visited?
Well, several. I could call...
Yeah, maybe you'd better. Because in 10 minutes, I'm going to put out an all-point sign.
Oh, there she is. Hello, Mother? Oh. No, she's not here. Who? Oh, yes, yes, I know. Urgent? Why? Oh, then Mother hasn't been there today. Yes, I'll have her call you.
Who was that?
Mother's reader and advisor. Someone named Caro. Well, she's been going to her for years.
Oh, one of those spooks?
Oh, Mother believes her. Unless she's checked with Caro, she won't... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, dear Lord, I wonder...
What is it?
Well, when Mother thought Dad was in danger, she told me this cow was going to give her a spell.
A spell?
Yes, a spell, Tim. I just laughed it off. I mean, advice from the cards is one thing, but... Could this have anything to do with the spiders?
Where is this cow?
Well, I don't know exactly. Somewhere near the waterfront, I know that.
I'll find her.
Welcome. What can Caro do for you?
I'm Lieutenant Carey.
Police?
Now, don't get upset. Just a few questions. Mrs. John Hawthorne is a client of yours?
Yes, for several years. But what is the trouble?
that something happened to Mrs. Hawthorne.
No. But her daughter says you are going to give Miss Hawthorne a spell to protect her husband.
Some believe. Some do not.
Did Mrs. Hawthorne ask for another spell? Something involving spiders?
Then you know.
Two men have died from Black Widow spider bites shortly after Mrs. Hawthorne visited them.
When did the second man die?
This afternoon. My man killed the spider, and we've taken it to the...
The spider was killed?
Yeah, it's in the lab for study.
Oh, no. I warned her to be careful. I told her to be careful.
Then you did supply Mrs. Hawthorne with deadly spiders?
No.
But you're saying...
I did not give Mrs. Hawthorne spiders.
Well, what did you do then? It's obvious that this whole thing started here.
She came to me for a deadly weapon, yes. She wanted revenge.
And you gave her the spider?
No. I told you I did not. How could an ordinary spider be depended on to do what she asked?
Yeah. That's been bothering me.
I gave Mrs. Hawthorne a potion.
A potion?
It was an elixir that caused certain changes in her appearance. Oh, it's a very old formula. Oh, dear God. The spider was killed. I told her to be careful. Oh, Lieutenant, you will not see Mrs. Hawthorne again.
What are you saying?
Must I spell it out, Lieutenant, word for word? The potion, for a short period of... actually turned Mrs. Hawthorne into a...
Spiders have always given me the chills. They have their purpose in the scheme of things, I suppose. But I'm glad they prefer to stay in their dark corners. Most of them, at least. I prefer to give them a wide berth, and I suggest you do the same in the future. I might also suggest that you think twice before killing one again. You never can tell. It might just be someone you know. I'll be back shortly.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
In the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, all human beings have feelings. All human beings have needs and temptations and stresses. Men and women who live together through long years get to know one another's feelings, but they also come to know what is worthy of respect and admiration in those they live with and in themselves. If at the end one can say, this man used to limit the powers that God granted him, he was worthy of love and respect and of the sacrifices of many people, made in order that he might achieve what he deemed to be his task, then that life has been lived well, and there are no regrets.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
You'll sleep tonight after all. Our story was pure fantasy, of course. No one can actually turn into a spider, no matter how potent the potion. But wouldn't it be fun? You wouldn't have to worry about the fuel shortage, the energy crisis, or inflation. Just where your next fly was coming from. It is fun to stretch our imaginations, though, isn't it? And that, of course, is what Radio Mystery Theater is all about. Our cast included Robert Dryden, Evie Juster, Hetty Galen, Jackson Beck, and Dan Ocko. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Could it be that you maybe said something, sometime, to someone that might have been better left unsaid?
Would you think I'm some kind of nut?
Of course not, but...
But what?
Don't be so touchy, Eric. You could have said something. I could. Mother could.
Not a word. Not a word.
I'm no fool, Alexis. Not me. You just don't know who you can trust anymore. I guess there wouldn't be any more coffee, Mrs. Mead, would there?
Maybe a few drops, Eric. Give me your cup.
Well, something has been said, and if we're smart...
Here you are, Eric.
We'll find out what it was. Because one thing is sure, what happened with Mr. Gilbert Stainer today is only the beginning.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean.
What do you mean?
Nothing, Mother. Oh, Mother, Mother, please, please, now
don't start crying. That's what you mean. Even maybe death.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tonight's CBS Radio Mystery Theater was pre-recorded between 7 and 8 p.m. this evening. From KOIN in Portland, my name is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. Communist insurgents have begun to take over key positions in Saigon hours after the South Vietnamese surrender. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. First, it was the Presidential Palace. Tanks carrying North Vietnamese and Viet Cong troops entering the palace grounds. Then guerrillas occupied the steps of the National Assembly. The CBS News Bureau reports it looks like the stance may be staged for communist television crews that came in with the guerrillas. Residents of Saigon are defying a 24-hour curfew, scurrying through the streets to find shelter. Some are reported cheering the incoming troops. The American embassy that was evacuated hours ago was ransacked, people taking everything from sinks to a paper shredding machine. The communist entry into the capital came hours after an unconditional surrender ordered by South Vietnamese President Minh. The White House says there will be no comment tonight on the South Vietnamese government's surrender. In Paris, the Viet Cong's provisional revolutionary government reacted to the surrender by saying, "We are facing an immense victory of historic importance," but it did not indicate whether it is willing to deal with President Minh. The provisional government has already said it will accept the surrender only after American ships leave Vietnamese waters. That is expected shortly. An international flotilla is reported still taking on South Vietnamese refugees from two islands off the Vietnamese coast. In California, the first of 350 of what is expected to be thousands of evacuees have arrived at Camp Pendleton. They were given a welcome speech and a meal of cream chicken and rice. The Vietnamese are being housed in Quonset huts and hastily erected tents. There are some problems, though. Foster Davis tells us about one.
Camp Pendleton is in Orange County, and Orange County has some say over what goes on here, as arriving refugees are discovering. County Health Officer Dr. John Philp has slapped a quarantine on all arriving Vietnamese and American evacuees, and the Americans are angry about it. Gail Fleming is one such American.
When I picked up my bags and I said, "I am not going to a camp," I was forcibly pushed back on a bus, and then the Orange County Sheriff came up and said, "You are quarantined. You are going to stay here."
But nobody explained why, precisely.
Well, they don't know why. Nobody has said how long.
Weird our health problems.
There can't be any legal reason for a quarantine of these people.
Presumably, the confusion will settle down in a few days, but in the meantime, no one here seems to have a very clear idea over what procedures should be followed. Everybody seems to be waiting for guidance, that guidance presumably from Washington. Foster Davis, CBS News, Camp Pendleton, California.
More news in a minute.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hello, world. Denny Brackett here with the jovial giant of the kitchen, Mike Royal. I tell you why he's jovial, because it looks like I've got a lot of work to do here. Oh, what is all this, huh? What is this?
Well, I tell you, I cook and you clean. We're just up the thing, get ready for the summer. The outdoor grill needs cleaning, I'll paint it. Garden furniture.
Oh, wait a minute. There's spring cleaning in the kitchen, too, and the barbecue and
now
all.
Now's the time.
Oh, do I have to?
Get with it tomorrow on Mike Roy's cooking thing.
Yes, sir. And you'll find it here on the CBS Radio Network.
President Ford held a dinner for Jordan's King Hussein last night. Each leader praised the other for his efforts to bring peace to the Mideast. Mr. Ford said that despite Secretary of State Kissinger's recent failure to reach a settlement, the United States will continue to press for peace between Arabs and Israelis. Three people were killed yesterday when tornadoes hit central and southern Texas. All three victims lived in Yancey, but south of San Antonio. Eight others were injured there and several houses destroyed. A second tornado caused much damage at Calvert, a small community north of Austin, Texas. An undetermined number of people there were injured. Now this message.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano. The Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians needs your help to continue its work on behalf of the blind musicians. The foundation services are available to any blind person who needs them. It provides them with scholarship aid, auditioning, counseling, evaluation, and paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. Please send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. This is Jose Feliciano saying, help a blind musician on his way. Help the Louis Braille Foundation. Thank you.
Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis has vetoed a bill to restore the death penalty for nine categories of murder. Dukakis says, I cannot reconcile the willful taking of a human life with my own moral and ethical beliefs. The state house is expected to override his veto, but it's not known if the state senate has enough votes to override. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A Bly, Oregon woman and seven others working with church groups in Vietnam have apparently been released from the captivity of the North Vietnamese and have made it to Saigon. However, the report in a Portland newspaper did not have any details on whether the eight managed to flee Vietnam before the surrender. The Christian Missionary Alliance headquarters in Nyack, New York, says it had received a telephone call from Saigon patched through Guam. The call was reportedly from the U.S. Agency for International Development official in Saigon before the last pullout of Americans. The organization, largest Protestant missionary group in Vietnam, said it had received reports earlier that the eight who were in prison compounds in the Pleiku area of Vietnam's Central Highlands after being captured March 11th were released. The eight included Betty Mitchell of Bly, Mr. and Mrs. Richard Phillips of Bloomington, Minnesota, the Reverend and Mrs. Norman Johnson of Hamilton, Ontario, and Mr. and Mrs. John Miller of Houghton, New York, and their eight-year-old daughter. Mrs. Mitchell's husband, the Reverend Archie Mitchell, was captured by the Viet Cong in 1962. His fate is unknown. Those 65 Vietnamese orphans who landed last night at McCord Air Force Base have been transferred to Fort Lewis, Washington. The transfer procedure took about 50 minutes. Two of the children walked with the aid of crutches, but all seemed generally in good health. On hand to greet them were doctors and nurses from Mattican Army Medical Center and military dependent volunteers. The latest arrivals will be housed at Fort Lewis temporarily until adoptive parents claim them. It isn't known how long this process will take. The Department of Environmental Quality says about 8 miles of northern Oregon beach is contaminated with black oil, apparently spilled or pumped from an ocean-going vessel. David O'Gwin, investigator for the DEQ Enforcement Division, who, with representatives of the Coast Guard and State Fish and Wildlife Commissions, inspected the spill, says the oil is in spotty globs. He says it is in a strip averaging about 4 feet wide on the beach from Rockaway north to Nehalem. He says there is no appreciable threat to the environment, but that it may cause damage to property if the thick, coagulated material is tracked indoors. He says the inspection team agreed that there is no feasible way to clean up the oil at this time. Revenue projections for Oregon have been revised upwards by some $15 million, but the director of the executive department says it's no bonanza. Stafford Hansel said the money already has been spent because of basic school support approvals and the governor's upward revisal of his state employees package.
The revised revenue projections are $15 million over what we had projected at the start of our budgeting season. Still doesn't leave enough money when the legislature has added $36 million to basic school, and we've added $22 million, 11 of which is general fund, to our salary package. The There are a number of things that have happened that have improved our position in small ways. There also are a number of budget cuts that are going to have to be made.
Hansel pointed out that the general outlook now is for the legislature to balance the budget with a $12 million emergency surplus. Representatives of state employees and the state government have begun to define the conditions under which they'll negotiate on proposed salary increases. Governor Straub emphasized Tuesday that he will not agree to binding arbitration. And the Oregon State Employees Association says it will be fruitless to bargain if the state doesn't come up with a new wage offer. State employees have authorized a strike that could begin as early as May 13th. The Portland-Vancouver weather, mostly sunny today and again tomorrow Thursday. A little warmer during the days with highs in the upper 60s, lows tonight near 40. Chance of measurable rainfall near zero today and tonight. Downtown Portland temperature reading right now is 54 degrees. And that's KOIN News. To 12:10 a.m., I'm George Goode.